Brothers and sisters, in the last session, Elihu said to Job, his friends, and people nearby in such a haughty manner, "You have to listen to and learn from me." The fact that Elihu said this to people who were older and more virtuous implies that he was also regarded as a smart and intelligent person in a way. But the knowledge and wisdom he had was fleshly and stemmed from his personal feelings. So it couldn't provide any help or awakening to the hearers. Rather, it only hurt their feelings. Only by gaining spiritual knowledge and wisdom can we please God, keep peace with others, and lead a successful life. God put His measureless wisdom and knowledge in the Bible, and Psalm chapter 107, verse 9 says, "For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good." I hope that you will long for His divine grace like deer panting for water brooks. May you abundantly obtain the treasures hidden in His Word. Today's passage is what Elihu said after he called for attention in the previous passage. "Hear my words, you wise men," he said in chapter 34, verses 3 and 4, "for the ear tests words as the palate tastes food. Let us choose for ourselves what is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good." The palate tasting food means our tongues can tell whether the food we eat is salty, bland, sour, sweet, or bitter. He said that ears can also discern the words of man. So he suggested that they listen to one another's words and discern between right and wrong and good and evil. Elihu pretended to be smart and lofty and spoke with confidence, but we cannot say that this metaphor was proper. The reason is, ears simply serve to hear rather than to discern words. We hear words through our ears, but what discerns them is not our ears, but our thoughts and mind, which we call the knowledge stored in our brain cells. But this is not the case. When you hear, you may say you have discernment, but it's not that our ears have discernment, but it is our heart and mind that has discernment. But this is not the case with the tongue. Even though a newborn baby has no knowledge of tastes, when something spicy, bitter, or sour goes into his mouth, he would make a face and then cry in pain because he instinctively responds because his tongue has senses. When something, some taste that he doesn't like comes into his mouth, he makes a face and cries in pain. And when parents put it in his mouth, something sour like lemon, they make a face. And then it's not about the knowledge in his brain, but the senses in his tongue can tell what kind of taste it is. It is the case with the tongue, but it's not the same with the ears. Ears don't have discernment. It's because his tongue discerns tastes. But just because he hears some word doesn't mean he can discern its meaning. He can only sense whether the sound is loud or quiet. Let's say parents say some bad words or good words. The baby cannot discern whether it is good or not. Then he accumulates knowledge by what he sees, hears, and learns while growing up, and has his heart formed by what he experiences and feels. This is how he's able to discern whether something is right, wrong, good, or bad when he hears it. Even though you say to a baby, you are ugly, would he understand it? Because he doesn't have knowledge, he doesn't have discernment. He may be surprised by some loud voice instinctively, but he cannot tell whether something is good or bad. He doesn't have discernment in his ear. Elihu claimed himself to be a man of great intelligence, but his remarks revealed the lack of wisdom. Elihu also said, let us choose for ourselves what is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For a person to make such a suggestion, he first has to have the ability to discern between right and wrong. As I told you, he doesn't have discernment himself, but he said, let's discern things. What kind of conclusion they would have? Such things may happen in our church sometimes. People who judge others gather together and say, let's discuss this. Then what would happen? They would end up judging and they would end up with untruth. The scribes and the Pharisees, they try to discuss something. They condemn someone to be sinful. They condemn the woman who committed adultery to be sinful. But what did Jesus respond? Though among you who is sinless can stone her, and everybody left. When you talk with someone, you have to examine yourself, but you have to know whether they, people whom you are talking to, have deserved to be, to... In order to, for a person to make such a suggestion, he first has to have the ability to discern between right and wrong. For him to do so, it's crucial that he do the duty of man. The Bible says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. To fear God is to detest and cast off evil. The duty of man is to cast off even the forms of evil, keep and abide by the Word of God, and become man of truth. But since Elihu hadn't fulfilled the duty of man, he arrogantly tried to admonish others with his own knowledge and wisdom. This resulted from his ignorance about himself. While he didn't even know about himself, he argued about what was right or wrong and tried to admonish and rebuke people who were wiser and more virtuous. In doing so, he went beyond the line. For us to accurately discern between right and wrong and do and good and evil, only the Word of God, the truth, has to be our standard. The reason is, man's conscience cannot be absolute standard to discern between good and evil. A person's conscience serves as his own standard of judgment between good and evil, and it has both truth and untruth in it. Thus, if we let our conscience be the standard, we may see what is good as evil, and what is evil as good. Only after we become men of truth, spiritual men who fulfill the duty of man, can we gain true wisdom and spiritual discernment. Even though Elihu was a man of flesh and really foolish in God's sight, he wrongfully thought of himself as wise and tried to teach Job and his friends. We have to know that when we try to teach a lesson, we cannot give someone an awakening unless it's from the Holy Spirit. First, we have to check whether ourselves have the discernment. Once you if we can have discernment, that means we have the, we do the duty of man, we keep and abide by the law, then we wouldn't discern, judge others. That way, we can see things clearly, accurately. In order to give an awakening or lesson, we have to, should be able to live by the Word of God wholly. And for example, whether in your families or schools, I think most of you have been told many times not to hate, not to hate anyone. Even in kindergartens, we are told not to hate, not to fight with your friends, not to quarrel with others. Even adults, adults, as they grow up, they've been taught not to hate for 20 years, for 40 years. Moreover, as believers who've accepted Jesus Christ, you hear that much more than unbelievers. But as time goes by, as people get older, they develop more hatred and ill feelings. What is the reason? I told you that. Do you agree with that? As people get older, they become more obstinate. Would they get less irritated? Would they get less annoyed? Would they cast off irritation and annoyance? Would they cast off greed? Would they cast off... Would they? No, actually this is not the case. As they struggle, as they hate, I mean, even though, even worldly people know the truth, but do they live according to the truth? No. As time goes by, they try to have more, they try to have more greed, they insist on themselves, and once they find someone who are not to their liking, they argue, they fight, they harbor resentment and grudge, etc. What is the reason? The enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the world, instigate people's heart and mind. Deep in the heart, people want to love without hatred, as they've been taught. But as they fail to do as they want, because most of the time, they've been taught in fleshly ways. Namely, because they've been taught not to hate by people who hate, there's no work of the Holy Spirit. But indeed, when a person who's cast off hatred teaches in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even in the world, while people don't practice such things, if they teach, they cannot have any influence. Even physically, it is so. As you hear this, our parents have to realize, you try to nurture your children in a good way, educate your children, but if you don't set a good example, it's no use. Let's say your children, let's say you have two kids, and you teach them to be at peace with one another, not to fight against one another. But what about you, parents? Are you in peace with your siblings? Are you serving your parents well? If you are serving your parents well, your children also will serve you well. As for me, our Miss Bongnyeom Lee, I saw Miss Bongnyeom Lee visiting his mother, and often, and after the Danny prayer meeting was over, he headed for the a city where she lived, and she did that for several times in a year. During the summer school breaks, I followed my mother to her house. But she had to come back quickly because she had to lead the dinner prayer meeting. She didn't skip dinner prayer meeting, but she still visited her mother. And in order to, before, she went there and she gave him some allowance. She also carried some clothes and dresses, and she also brought some. She wholeheartedly prepared things. She thought about what color she would like, and she chose the best one. I saw her by her side, and I saw how she served her mother, and it was easy for me to serve my parents. I tried to figure out what my mother, what my father liked, and I also saw them. So my parents serving and respecting his siblings, and she also. So we also respected our parents on the Parents' Day, and we did that joyfully. As we learned, as we saw, we did that. Parents, if you want your children to serve you well and to be at peace with their siblings, you have to first set a good example. For example, when you meet your families and relatives, when you speak ill of your family members, relatives, what your children would learn from you? But indeed, when a person who is cast off hatred teaches in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, those who hear are also moved by the Holy Spirit, and they begin to cast off hatred and love others. But so much of what people learn in the world is not of the truth. And even as they are taught the right thing, if the one who teaches doesn't act, it doesn't bring forth life. We are to realize that man's hatred and conscience have been formed with the untruth. So, why should they judge anyone with that conscience? When they discern, would they be right? When you try to discern things, you may think you are not have a, but as you learned from the spirit, soul, and body, we think according to our conscience. This principle applies. Even if you think something is right or wrong, you have to know that your conscience is wrong many times. If you realize that, and you then if you like you realize that, you don't try to that way you become a man of truth, and you prevent yourself you should not become a judge. You should not make yourself a god. This is a great evil, great arrogance, a great sin. You have to know that your discernment may be wrong, and I should not judge things. But the problem is, even if when you involve many fleshly thoughts, you don't realize that you may think of your thinking goodness, if you try to compliment others, you can change yourself more quickly. While Elihu himself didn't act, he tried to teach Job, rebuking and judging him. In admonishing Job, Elihu involved all of his wisdom and knowledge on his part, but it only agonized Job more and provoked his ill feelings. The worldly knowledge is merely means necessary for our life in this world. What gives us life and true wisdom is the Word of God, the truth. As people establish a standard of judgment based on the knowledge of untruth from the world, they become arrogant and lead themselves to destruction. Does this mean we should not learn the worldly knowledge? Since we are living in this fleshly world, there is no question that we have to learn necessary knowledge. But we are to make sure to learn while we have the right standard of judgment in the truth. Only when we make use of our knowledge in valuable ways through right discernment, the knowledge works out. So, the most crucial thing is to circumcise our heart and change it into truth quickly. Once we achieve a heart of truth, we can correctly discern whether we see and hear amidst the works of the Holy Spirit. We can have the truth as the standard and refrain from inputting bad things. As we input only what is right into our head and our heart, we gradually change into a beautiful person whom God desires. I sometimes say that we have to filter out our the work operation of the soul. We have to discern what we see and hear, and like, oh, this is not right, especially in the world. There are taking revenge and retaliation. Let's say you are bullied at school. You are a victim, and you become an adult, and you pay back and repay. And this is not considered wrong in the world. There are dramas depicting that, but I think of that. When students, our young teenagers see that, they would think that it is right to take vengeance, retaliate. This is untruth. Then what we should do? When we hear and watch such things, when also worldly people say, when you are in trouble, you become successful and then you can retaliate later on. But if you have success with that kind of heart, this is not goodness. You have to, how good it would be to teach people how to forgive. So you have to discern things well. You have to know that retaliating against someone is taking vengeance on someone is you may think that because you're a victim, you do the same thing. But as men of God, as men of the Lord, you have to forgive. You have to, in order to rise into a higher level. Moreover, you have to, wherever you are, even if someone distresses you and agonizes you, if you change yourself more in the truth, you can have mercy on others. You can think in good ways about him, and you can have a broader heart, a wider heart. This is truly becoming successful. This is truly becoming a winner. But the world does not teach us that way. You have to discern things with the Word of God, Word of the truth, Word of knowledge of the truth. So when we hear and see, whatever you feel, you have to do this in the truth. You have to filter things out in the truth. You have to discern whether something is right or wrong, when worldly people say something, and our young adults, when you do so, we have to you can change your heart into goodness more and more. I hope you do that in every... But on the contrary, people who don't circumcise their hearts continually put in their hearts things of untruth that they see and hear despite their decades of Christian life. And young adults, you may want your children to see good things and hear good things and make their heart good. Why? Because you know that you haven't done so, so you feel regretful about that. But even adults, you can still make your hearts good. But some people make their hearts more evil. Even now, while we as I told you earlier, as you get older, people have more evil. As they live, they put in bad things while they live. They judge others and condemn others and misunderstand others, and you get contaminated. There's a saying. This is what human beings are like. Once they are not changed in the truth, what they see and hear, they have a lot of untruth in them. They have. Well, if you don't circumcise your heart, if you are still implanting untruth in your heart, you have to fix that. Even as they hear the word of God, they don't cultivate their hearts with it, but merely have it as knowledge in their head. This is horrible. You want to become sanctified, but instead you put in more evil in you. This could happen because if you don't circumcise your heart, even though you think that you are discerning things, you are making yourself a judge. And as you listen to and watch the untruth of the world, you continue to put it in your heart. People with greed, people with a desire to boast of himself, as people become envious of, when you think of adults, even now you can put in your heart good things. And so I urge you to only make as soon as Elihu suggested discerning between right and wrong and good and evil, he began finding fault with Job's remarks one by one. He said, "For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my right. Should I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression." Elihu condensed all of Job's remarks into three sentences. Of course, what he pointed out about Job were true. Job did say that God took away his right, that he would never lie, and that he got stricken with a deadly disease, though he committed no fault. Job was confident in saying so because he was proud of his life as he examined it in light of his conscience. According to his common sense, God's righteousness is to bless a righteous person like him. But God took away his children and possessions and struck him with sore boils as if with a wicked person. So he wondered, where is God's righteousness? He even went as far as to claim that he was more righteous than God. He also misunderstood that, though he led an upright life, God treated him like a wicked person, made him a bad person who lied, and judged him. For that reason, Job naturally considered God to be not honest. He believed that while he had no sins and transgressions, God treated him like a sinner, greatly distressed him, and didn't heal his wound. So Job found this situation so unfair and concluded that God, who made him miserable without a reason, was at fault. Even today, some Christians misunderstand God like Job did. They complain, "Even though I keep the Sabbath, offer the tithes, and lead an earnest Christian life, why am I without answers and blessings?" As other people seem to be answered quickly and receive God's love, they falsely assume that God favors them. It's because they misconceive themselves as righteous men. While they have a lot of evil in God's sight, they fail to discover their evil and realize their lack of love and virtues. Rather, they see others' transgressions. You have to, when someone Some people make them an excuse and compare themselves to others, and they think of themselves as better, and they don't acknowledge and admit their themselves. And they are, but no one can show off his righteousness or goodness before God. For it's totally impossible for man to reach the levels of God's goodness and righteousness. They cannot dare judge nor resent God under any circumstances. Even though they see themselves as righteous, they are lacking in the eyes of God, who is light itself, so they are subject to trials and Satan's works. When you see his healing and answers not coming or being delayed, if you lose the grace and feel frustrated, your heart is similar to that of Job. As creatures, man cannot completely fathom the will of God, who is higher than the heavens. Though they only think of their merits and seek blessings, they still have a lot of shortcomings. Thus, I ask you not to set the time for God's answers and blessings, but always try to discover your shortcomings with the truth. By the way, Job not only resented God, but called himself more righteous than God. As far as Elihu was concerned, Job must have been so evil. That's why he asked in the following passage, "Who else in the world is as wicked as Job?" Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters, today we saw how Elihu claimed himself to be right and urged Job to listen to him and properly discern between right and wrong. But even if we think of something as right, it may often be against the truth. So when we discern, we may end up judging things. As for married couples, do they understand their spouse's thoughts and character 100%? Before marriage, they try to please each other, so they didn't sense a lot of differences from the other, or nothing was an issue for them. But as they get married and live together, they may see a lot of differences and find many things to be beyond understanding. That's why they quarrel, have ill feelings, and hate. A wife may think of her husband, "Why does he act like that and think in such weird ways?" Each person has a different character, tastes, and thoughts depending on their parents and backgrounds. They also have different conscience. With different thoughts and conscience, they create their own standards and evaluate others. This is how they judge and condemn others, making themselves a judge. Let's say there is a roller. Let's say you get 10 rollers at a stationery store. Does any of them have a different measure? All their measures are the same. 1 centimeter is all the same for all the rollers. But people have different standard of measurement. They have different. Even twins have different looks. They have different fingerprints. Likewise, they have different thoughts. They have different standards of judgment. You have to realize that. Then it will be very good to make peace. It will be very good for husband and wife to be united. You have to acknowledge that other people are different from you. Why don't you? Wives, you may make a lot of food, but even after you make food, your family members may not like it, but you shouldn't complain about that. Even if you make food, but some people may complain, but you have to respond in a good way. You have to respond in a lovingly way. Then people would not complain. They would just forget about that with a laugh. Then you'll be loved and you'll be When 10 people gather, each person has different thoughts, and people don't accept others' differences. The same thing happens in politics. Even though their politicians are smart, they always fight. That's the same way. Each person's thoughts are different. You have to admit or acknowledge the differences. That's why people judge and condemn others and make themselves a judge. God tells us not to do so. He tells us not to judge and condemn others, but to change our thoughts, conscience, and heart with the Word of God, the absolute truth. Once you've cultivated your conscience and thoughts in the truth, you won't insist on your thoughts and evaluate others. In doing so, you are able to keep peace with all people. As you walk in the light, your families and those around you naturally change. The Lord's love. In doing so, I pray that you can give off a beautiful aroma wherever you are. Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.